I'm going to start off with a short story that I read this week. And I'm going to tie it all in here, so just hang with me a little bit. It's going to help us connect with what God is saying to us from His Word this morning. So I read this story about this rock hound, which is basically a guy who likes to go find rocks, right? His name was Rob Cutshaw. He owned a little roadside shop outside of Andrews, North Carolina, or as they say it, North Carolina, I think, anyway. But like many in the trade, many of those rock hounds, so he hunted for rocks and then he sold them to collectors and people who like to make jewelry out of those rocks. He knew enough about kind of which ones to pick up, but he wasn't an appraiser. He would bring in appraisers, you know, to really value what the rocks were worth, if they were going to be really valuable. As much as he enjoyed doing this, it didn't always help ends meet for him. So sometimes you'd have to get side jobs cutting wood and doing stuff like that. But it was 20 years ago, and he was out looking for rocks, and he ran across a fairly large rock that he described as pretty and big. He tried unsuccessfully to sell it. He thought it's worth at least $500. I don't want to take much less than $500 for this. It's just really big, and it's really pretty. Nobody was buying it at the time, so he just kind of, they say he either put it under his bed or in his closet, something along those lines. Of course, if somebody would have come along and offered him a little bit less than $500, he probably would have taken it, especially those months where he was having trouble paying the utility bill. But it's a good thing that Rob never let go of that rock, because he came very close to selling the largest, most valuable sapphire ever found. Pretty amazing. That blue rock that Rob had abandoned in the darkness of his closet for a couple decades turned out to be known ultimately as the Star of David sapphire. It weighs nearly a pound, and at the time could have easily sold for nearly $3 million. So why am I telling this story? What's this all about? Well, if you remember, back in our 12-year anniversary, which was just September 12th of this past year, of 2021, that was our 12-year anniversary service, the Lord gave me, I guess you would call it a prophetic word, a word that He wanted me to release over Evident Life Church. And God was saying that this next year that we're moving into as a local church, as Evident Life Church, is a season of mining. It's a season of unearthing things of great value in this congregation. I love Proverbs 25:2. It's an exciting passage of Scripture where it says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. Other translations put it this way. It's God's privilege to conceal things, and it's the king's privilege to discover them. And I look at that passage of Scripture in Proverbs, and I think, we're the kingly, priestly people now. That's who God describes us as, the New Testament church, the royal priesthood. And it's God's privilege to conceal things, and it's our privilege, it's our glory, it's our opportunity to uncover those things of great value. And God has concealed and deposited a lot of things of great value in His church, in this church. And it's our privilege to search them out. In fact, God wants us to search out those things of value that He has placed in His church, in your lives, in my life, in our gathering together. It's going to be a really exciting year, unearthing things here at Evident Life Church. And when we talk about unearthing things, we're not talking about unearthing new strategies for ministry. We're not talking about unearthing new programs, like here's a new program and here's some new, you know, whiz-bang idea that we're going to adopt here at Evident Life Church. The things that God wants us to mine aren't even things, it's people. See, God has placed these things of great value in us, the church. We are His church. Programs aren't the church. Buildings aren't the church. We are his church. And God is calling us to unearth, to bring to the surface those giftings, the anointing, the plans, the purposes that he's placed in each one of our lives. And when we do that, he's going to be glorified, and we're going to be amazed, and we're all going to be blessed. But why us and why now? I don't know if you might be asking that question. I kind of asked that question. Okay, God, why are you giving this word to us right now? Well, God uses his church for kingdom purposes. Y'all realize that? I mean, we are. We're his hands and feet. We're his ambassadors here on this earth. And I look around, I think, this earth needs the ambassadors right there showing up. You know what I'm saying? Front and center. Because things are a little wild and crazy out there right now. He uses us as his hands and his feet. Scripture says that we're the salt and the light. And y'all have heard messages about that, what it means to be salt. You know, salt preserves things. It seasons things. Light, it reveals things. It pushes back darkness, right? We're the salt and the light. And God wants us to understand that. As that word came earlier, even in the service, he wants us to perceive that, to perceive and understand who we are and what our role is right here and right now. And he wants us to perceive, understand, and know and unearth and be in awe and activate and use the amazing, valuable things that he's placed in us. We don't have to create them. We don't have to go out and look for them elsewhere. We have all we need in Christ, and he's given us all we need. Scripture says, for life and for godliness. Check out how the Apostle Paul explains this. I found this. It's in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7. Check this out. Hopefully this will get you excited also. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And then verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Two things I get excited about here. Two things. Of course, the one is that there's this all-surpassing power. There's this light. There's this light that's illuminated our hearts, that's lighting us up with the knowledge and the glory of God, of Christ himself that's in us. That's exciting. And I'm also excited that we're reminded that we're just jars of clay. That it is God's power that is at work in us. It's not our own power. It's not our own smarts. It's not our own talent. It's not our own anything. It's what God has done and is doing. And God uses broken and imperfect people, vessels, for his glory. How many of you have been broken and imperfect, right? God wants to use you. He uses you. Jars of clay. You and me. I'm going to be transparent, right? I always am transparent. That's what gets me in trouble. But I was just driving into church today. And I'm battling with myself. I'm just thinking of how imperfect and how messed up I really can be and how I don't have it all together. Just things that were going through my mind as I'm driving in. And, you know, and it seems like that happens a lot on Sunday morning or on Wednesdays, right before ministry time, and all these little, you know, reminders of just whatever and making me go, what am I doing driving into church and I'm going to, you know, lead a gathering of the saints and preach the word of God. And I got issues. God is saying, yeah, you're a jar of clay, but I use you for my glory. And it's my power, and it's my word, it's my grace that's pouring into you and out of you. It's not you, Eric. That's encouraging to me. It's a good reminder. It's a good reminder. Because you know what? That allows us, even in our, when we feel that imperfect and brokenness, it reminds us, you know what? It's still game day. Because it's not about us and about our condition right now. It's about Him and His Word and His Gospel and what He's going to do in us and through us as He continues to perfect us. Let's not forget that either. We're not going to just walk around going, oh, I'm just broken, I'm just broken, I'm just broken, and I'm always going to be broken, and I'm never going to change. No, 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 no. If you've encountered Christ, if you've encountered His grace, you have changed, and you are changing. And in all that process, God is powerfully working in us and through us. He uses broken and imperfect people. And it should encourage us that God can and will use us to accomplish important things as we simply cooperate with Him. Because the Lord has His light, as it says here in 2 Corinthians 4, right? He has His anointing, He has His gifts and His power in us. And again, that almost seems scandalous, but that's what He does. He pours it in and through His church, through His jars of clay. And so God has highlighted to us that this year is a year of mining, again, a year of unearthing things of great value. These treasures, as we just read in 2 Corinthians here, these treasures in this congregation, in these jars of clay, unearthing these treasures in these jars of clay and seeing what God will do with that and with us. Title of this first message for the new year is simply Unearthing Treasures in the Church. Unearthing Treasures in the Church. The message is also known as, you know, Mining the Church in 2022. But that just kind of had a weird ring to it, so I didn't go with that. Mining the Church. I don't know. But anyway, it's an exciting year. I'm excited to see all these valuable things that are going to be unearthed this year as you cooperate with what God's doing. When you step out in faith, when you step out, even when you don't feel like it, even when you feel broken or even when you feel tired, even when you don't feel worthy or whatever it might be, but you just cooperate with God and you step out anyway. I am so excited what God is going to do in and through this congregation this year. It's going to be a blessing. All right, we're going to go to Scripture. Three things that we should be mining. Three things that we should be mining this year. Number one is we should be mining practical gifts in the church. There are practical gifts that God has given us, His church, that are in us that we need to be looking for and bringing to the surface and engaging with. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Romans 12, verse 4 says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And then it says in verse 6, "We have different gifts." You have gifts. Did you see that? Are you part of the body of Christ? All right, you have gifts. You're gifted. I don't know. I don't have anything to offer. You're not reading the Bible. You're not believing God then, right? We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Who gives us the grace? God. Who gives us the gifts? God. Our responsibility is to steward that now. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is, in other words, don't prophesy in accordance with how your neighbor prophesies, how you think it's supposed to look or sound or be like, and I got to be like Bob or Sally or whatever, right? That, no, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, if your gift is serving, then serve. Don't sit around and say, Well, maybe next year. No, if your gift is serving, serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If your gift is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Again, Romans chapter 12. As I read that, I just had names and faces going through my mind of different gifts and different people in this congregation that have walked and are walking in these gifts. Some have been doing it for years. Others, it's something newer that we're seeing happening. I just want to throw a few of those out just to acknowledge it and maybe to prime the pump, if you will, for more of us just to step into those types of things. I think of that gift of serving. As Paul just said, if your gift is to serve, then serve, right? And I think of brothers in the Lord like Arvid and Shane and Jim Cianci who are down here at the church throughout the week and weeks, and they're building things and they're fixing things and they're making things work around here. So doors actually open and shut and stay locked, you know, at night, all that kind of, just the minor, seems like minor stuff. But their gift is to serve, and they're doing it. And it's blessing all of us. And it's fueling, and it's creating a foundation for all the other ministry, for the things that are happening even right now, even the word going out right now. Because the members of the body are being who they are. Think of Rita Allen. I think she served in every capacity in this church. If you know Rita, her gift is serving. She's got a massively large family. But she takes on this church as a family too. And she served in virtually, I think, almost every single way. I don't think she's preached, you know what I mean? But almost every other way in this church. And she's been so faithful for years and years in the children's ministry and kids' life. The gift of teaching. If your gift is teaching, then teach. And we're seeing the gift of teaching coming into this congregation and being raised up in this congregation. And we see people like Brent Detweiler, who's been teaching for decades and decades, who's here at Evident Life Church. And there's this valuable resource here that's unearthed and is teaching doctrine classes, and he's doing daily devotions. Think of Stephen Irving, who's serving right now back in the booth back there. But also a gift of teaching and just sharing God's word and truth from a down under Australian perspective, you know what I mean? Anyway, shrimp on the barbie, whatever, right? I don't know. But the gifts in the church that God is revealing to us, and we're kind of people around here at Evident Life Church that when we see gifts, we're not afraid of those gifts. We want to unearth those gifts. We want to see those gifts come to the surface and be used for God's glory. I think of the gift of leading, as it says, if your gift is to lead, then lead. Do it diligently. We have some life group leaders that have stepped into leadership in life groups. Even just this past year, the Dodsons took over a life group this past year. And are the leaders of that life group. And they have a gift of leading. And they're stepping into that. And they're seeing the need. And they're saying yes to that. They also have the gift of prayer, of faith, of serving, and all that other kind of stuff too. Don't get worn out. Take a break when you need to. That's all I'm saying. All right? The Knudsons. We asked them, would you be interested in a life group? They've been praying about it. They'd already been thinking about it. It had already been stirred up within them. They start a life group, young families, all these young families with young marriage, with little babies and babies being born, and life that's happening there, and the connection that's happening, the leadership, though. There's leadership behind that. It's blessing the church. It's making a difference. The gift of encouraging. If your gift is to encourage, then encourage. And one that's kind of an interesting one that just came to my mind is Colleen Lewis. I know you didn't think I was going to say your name today. And I didn't warn you either. But there's somebody who has a gift of encouragement as she comes alongside of homeschool parents, mostly moms, and pours out and encourages them in the decisions that they've made to raise their children and to teach their children. It's a gift of encouragement. And she's using that practical gift to build up the body of Christ. And it's making a difference in families. It's making a difference in this congregation. It's going to make a difference in the world. Something that seems as simple as that, but so important. The gift of giving. If your gift is to give, then give generously. And I'm going to go ahead and say giving helps. We often look at giving and money, oh, we don't want to think about money. We don't want to talk about money. And we don't focus a lot on money here at Evident Life Church because, as Pastor Tim said, you know, the Lord said it's not about money. It's just about obedience. He's going to provide. We don't have to focus on money. But the generous giving of this congregation is how God fulfills that word that he gave us about how it's never about money. Because of the generous givers here that keep the doors open, that keep the lights on, that allow us to do the things of ministry, to send people to India, to do so on and so forth, to house the homeless, on and on and on. So if your gift is giving, I want to encourage you, give generously. Give generously. I mean, some people just have the gift of making money. That's not a bad thing. Give generously. Anyway, so what gifts has God placed within you? Think about that even right now. What talent? What kind of time? Some of you, the gift is just you have time. What treasure has he planted and given you? And how, pray, even this week, ask God, how do I release that? Give me boldness, give me faith to step into that thing that you're stirring up, that you're highlighting in my life. And then I want to say, if you're struggling knowing what that is or how that fits in the body of Christ and how that fits, as it says in Romans 12, how we're all part of one body, but we have these different parts, where does your part fit? I want to encourage you, if you've not been to Find Your Fit class, come to the Find Your Fit class. That's one of the purposes of that. Maybe you went to it 2 years ago, but you're like, I need maybe a refresher. I want to see where I fit right now today. Come back to the class. You can do it again. You get extra credit, you know, an extra star even in heaven. It's all good. God appreciates it. Anyway, I embellished on that, by the way. It's not a thus saith the Lord. But seriously, come to the Find Your Fit class again. If you've been around a while and you just want to see how you fit, contact Pastor Phil, contact Pastor Tim. You know, in their different areas of ministry, and ask them just to get together with them and just to explore what God has placed in you and who you are and how you might fit and what part of the body you might be. We want to spend that time with you. We want to unearth. We want to mine those things of value that are in you. God will be glorified when we do that. And the other way to do it is just start connecting. Just start connecting. Just start showing up. Start volunteering. And next thing you know, gifts are going to come to the surface and people are going to see them and call them out and who knows where it can go. Amen? All right. In addition to practical gifts, God also wants to unearth spiritual gifts in the church. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for this one. So we're in Romans 12, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning of verse 7. Now to each one, are you one of the each one? Are you an each one? Yeah. Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you part of his church? Yeah, you're an each one. Each one. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Is given to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, that's capital S, the Holy Spirit, is given for the common good, for the good of the whole church. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these gifts are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So who's in charge still? God's in charge. He's in charge. He's distributing them, but He's distributing them to each one. And you just realized and confessed and were reminded that you're one of the each one. So God has gifted His church. There are spiritual gifts in this church that He wants to unearth. Gifts that maybe have remained dormant that He wants to bring to the surface. He's placed spiritual gifts in and through His church. And sometimes we forget that life in Christ Jesus is supernatural. I mean, we really forget that here in the West, it seems like. Life with God is a supernatural life. That means a beyond the natural life. And God wants us to live in that beyond the natural, supernatural life with Him. And so He's gifted us. But many ignore the gifts. Some tragically consider these gifts from God as expired. That's called cessationism. They believe they've ceased from existing, even though Scripture does not say that. And I know there's some smart people that say it does say that. Not only doesn't say it, but we see it at work today. But there are those who believe the gifts aren't active anymore. And so they just ignore them. Or they've been taught that. And so they just brush it off. And they don't walk in that area, that supernatural aspect of life with God. Missing out on gifts, leaving them dormant, buried, unused. Then there are some that even go so much further as to say those gifts are actually from demons. They're like demonic. Called strange fire, some of them call that. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, I'm kind of on this soapbox a little bit, because it drives me crazy when people do this, when people speak this way of the Holy Spirit and His gifts and the way that God wants to move in His church, and they want to put Him in a box, and they want to say even that what God is doing is somehow not only not God, but demonic. It says this, Jesus said this in Matthew 12. Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people. But the blasphemy against the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, will not be forgiven people. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." And Jesus said that in response to religious people declaring that the things that He was doing in the Holy Spirit were demonic. Anyway, so I'll get off that soapbox just for a little bit. And back to this point. God has given His church spiritual gifts. And He wants those gifts to be unearthed. Because when they are, there is common good. There is a building up of the body of Christ. And we need to be built up to be fully engaged doing the work of the kingdom of God and what He has for us. And He's given us these spiritual gifts for that purpose. So, how do we respond to the availability of these spiritual gifts? Scripture says go after them. Don't just hope that you bump into them sometime. Don't just assume it might happen, or if you don't bump into it, I guess it's not for me. Because we already established that you're one of the each one. Right? So, Scripture says to eagerly go after it. If you look in 1 Corinthians 14:1, earnestly pursue love. Some of you need to hear that right now. Earnestly pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So my question is, are you digging up? Are you looking for? Are you on your hands and knees in the place of prayer asking God to unearth these gifts in your life? If not, why not? Is it a lack of belief? Is it a lack of faith? Is it a lack of desire? I want to encourage us. If we're going to be mining this year, if we're going to see gifts moving in the church, then we need to be earnestly and eagerly desiring and going after these. Don't be afraid. Don't ignore them. Rather, chase after them. Seek them out. Remember, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So if you're interested in some help and guidance in unearthing some of these spiritual gifts, I mean, we're a Spirit-filled church here at Evident Life Church, and we want to help with that. We don't want to just say, oh, you should have this and go figure it out, you know, like that show, have fun storming the castle, like, you know, whatever, go, good luck, you know, good luck finding those gifts. No, we want to come alongside of you. And so we have a few things already established. One of them is our monthly Baptism of the Holy Spirit workshop. And that happens the third Sunday after the service, the third Sunday of every month. I want to encourage you, show up at that. You know, just show up. We've got one of our pastors and one of our elders that lead that. And it's a time not of teaching. There may be 5-10 minutes of teaching, of talking just to set the stage, but it's a workshop. It's a time of stepping into, of eagerly desiring, of going before the Lord, of allowing those gifts to be used. If you're interested, earnestly desiring, I encourage you to go to that. See what God might do. And don't just go one time and go, well, been there, done that, nothing really happened, you know. Come on now. If you know there was $1 million in that room and you didn't find it the first month that you went in there, the next time you're going to go back. And if there's $1 million for everyone who goes in there, you're ultimately going to find $1 million, you're going to go back. What's $1 million? It's nothing, especially with inflation, right? But seriously, you can't take it with you. It doesn't touch heaven. It doesn't release the glory of God. It's just $1 million. But you can put it in the tithes and offering boxes at the back if you'd like to. Friday night prayer, another way to eagerly desire and to go after these spiritual gifts, to mine these gifts. Friday night prayer, we're continuing with Friday night prayer, but we're going to kind of have a little bit different focus. It's still going to be prayer. It's still going to be worship. But the focus is, and we're going to actually call it an eagerly desiring gathering. Eagerly desiring prayer gathering. And it's going to be a place where people who are eagerly desiring the gifts, who want to be in that environment, who want to learn with one of our pastors, Pastor Tim, leading the gathering, to learn, to be around that, to grow in the spiritual gifts that God has for His church. And so if that's something you're interested in, we're here to do this together. You don't have to figure it out on your own or just hope that you bump into it at some point. Also, in our other prayer meetings, like Wednesday night prayer, we make room for that. It's a great place to move in the gifts. It's a safe place to do it. Many of the life group settings, the same thing in those life groups. In your time with the Lord, I encourage you to make part of your time with God is just asking Him. Ask, seek, knock, listen, wait. See what He wants to do, what He wants to unearth in you, even right now. You know, it was just Christmas. And how many of you left a gift under the tree and didn't open it? Nobody. No hands up. No hands up. How many of us leave gifts that God has for us unopened? I mean, these are gifts from God. Finally, God has deposited ministry gifts in the church. Point number three, ministry gifts in the church. Leadership gifts, office, church kind of office gifts in the church. So we're going to be in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. It says, so Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So there are five different gifts that God has given the church mentioned in this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. Sometimes these five different gifts or leadership gifts are referred to as fivefold ministry gifts. And I want to talk about those just briefly here. Let's look at apostles, because God said here in Scripture that he gave apostles to the church. He gave apostles to the church to equip and get ready the body, the bride of Christ. What do apostles do? They govern. Apostles govern. What does that mean? They're kind of the folks who set the foundation in a church. It's usually somebody with apostolic giftings who goes out and plants a church, for instance. They'll go out and they'll plant a new church. They'll see that opportunity. Instead of just saying, I hope somebody does it, they'll actually step into that and they'll lead into that. They'll be like a pioneer. They'll be somebody who sees a mountain and they want to take it. That's somebody with apostolic giftings. And God has people like that in this church. People who see an opportunity for the kingdom of God to advance, and they have giftings to see it and to actually step into it and to launch the church into it, to open doors, to bring the kingdom of God into different areas, whether it's church planting, whether it's ministry opportunities, whatever that might be. And to provide oversight. You've got the prophets that have also been given to the church. People with prophetic giftings in the body of Christ. Prophets help guide the church. I think of the men of Issachar that are mentioned. These men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. God has placed people in this congregation who understand the times that we're living in right now. Who are in the Word of God, they see the times we live in, and God's given them this prophetic ability to tie the two together to see what it is the church should do. How it is the church should respond. That's how I see that gifting operating in the New Testament church today. That prophetic gifting in the body of Christ. And you have evangelists. God has given that gifting to the church. Evangelists gather. Evangelists have a heart for the lost. But not just a heart for the lost. We all should have a heart for the lost, and we all should evangelize. But evangelists, they carry an amazing burden for those who are not part of the kingdom of God. Those who are not saved. Those who do not know Jesus. And they have an anointing that goes along with that burden, an anointing to preach the gospel, to share the gospel with the lost. I think of somebody like Billy Graham. I mean, think about that. The man was an evangelist. I mean, he would just show up, and there was this anointing upon him that would draw people. First of all, that wasn't just Billy Graham, you know, podunk guy from, you know, Carolinas or whatever he's from, right? That would, no. That was an anointing. That was God's anointing that would draw the lost. And then he would speak and he would preach. And it wasn't as though his messages were the most deep, eloquent, amazing messages, although they were awesome. Because God anointed his lips. And when the man spoke, people would come to Christ. There was an evangelist gifting, an anointing upon that guy. And God has given people to the church with that anointing. And there are those right here in this congregation with that anointing. We want to unearth that. We want to fan the flame, encourage that. And the other thing that God often, and I almost say almost always, gives evangelists is signs and wonders that accompany the word of God. Just as God's word is powerful, God is powerful and moves in signs and wonders. You'll often see signs and wonders and healing and the supernatural kind of hanging out around evangelists. It just happens. And then God has given the church pastors. Pastors are like the shepherds, right? They guard the body, the flock, if you will. They care for the congregation. They're ready to lay down their lives for everyone else in the church, whatever it takes. They want to make sure that the church is fed, that the church is growing, that disciples are being made, that people are stepping into their gifting and their anointing. Pastors. Then you have teachers. Pastors guard the flock. Teachers kind of ground the church. Ground the church in what? In truth. In the Word of God. They teach. They edify. They illuminate Scripture and bring forth. They exegete truth out of God's Word for the body of Christ to chew on it, to take it in, to grow from it. I've heard it said that while prophets possess foresight, teachers have insight. And we need both in the church, in the body of Christ. And I've been thinking about this a little bit as I think about the church, and I think about the global church, church in America, and then I think about our church here at Evident Life Church. And I'm grateful that we see these different giftings being unearthed and being used throughout the history of this church. I want to be more intentional about that. I want to be much more intentional about these five different giftings, having space and place. Because here's what I've noticed. Most churches are led by pastors or by teachers. Think about it. Most churches are led by pastors or by teachers. That's their main gifting. In other words, they're good at caring for the flock, or they're good at teaching and equipping the flock. Both extremely important to the church. Without those, we're going to be wayward. We're going to be off in the weeds. We're going to be lost. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a wreck. But those giftings are primarily inward-focused giftings, focused on those who are already part of the church. And could it be that we see the greater body of Christ around us, especially in this nation, inwardly focused because we're only raising up pastors and teachers and giving them the place of leadership in the body of Christ? I think so. I think so. And I believe that when we give those with apostolic and prophetic and evangelistic giftings and callings and anointing, when we ensure that they are at the table, in the room, part of the leadership meetings, part of the elder team that's leading the church, and we acknowledge the importance of those giftings and those voices, I believe that's when the church will be most alive and most effective in our world today, because the early church functioned with all of these giftings present in the church, and they changed the world. What would happen? So I'm going to close. That's a lot to take in for the first Sunday of the new year. But we don't have to figure it all out. We don't have to unearth it all immediately right now. But God does want to bring all of these giftings, the practical giftings, the spiritual giftings, and these ministry giftings. He wants to bring them to the surface. He wants to unearth those in this church. And my encouragement to everyone here in this room, everybody watching this, you know, online right now, you are gifted. You're part of what God is doing. This isn't just something for the other people in the room, in the church. This is you. You're part of this. To each one is given. You're one of the each one. Yes, you are a jar of clay. But it is God's power. It's His light that's been deposited within you. That's amazing. Let's stand up as we close. I just want to pray over us right now. I don't know what's with me today with, like, you know, touch your head, your ears, your eyes, but I just want us to touch our hearts right now. If you just put your hands over your heart, I want to pray over us. God, we enter into this new year completely leaning into You, solely, utterly dependent upon You. For You are God and there is no other. And Lord, we see, we hear, we perceive what You're saying to us, this local congregation. That You have deposited gifts within us. That You have plans and purposes for each one of us and for this congregation together as one, God. And Lord, I ask that for each one of us right now, that You would begin stirring those gifts up within us. The practical, the spiritual, the ministry, the leadership giftings, God, stir those up within us, God. Bring them to mind. Let them burn within us, God. So much so that we have to release them, God, that we have to walk in them. Lord, if there's been any gifts that we've just allowed to be unopened, Lord, would You just remind us of those gifts? Lead us back to those gifts, God. Give us the faith, the unction to rip the wrapping right off of that, God, and to trust You to release Your light and Your power in us and through us. God, we love You. We're humbled to be Your people, Your church. We're also excited to be Your people, to be Your church. God, I thank You for new years that help us focus. May our focus this year be on You, our first love. I ask You to pour out Your blessing on this congregation, every family, every individual represented here, Lord God. Pour out Your blessing. Let faith arise, let hope arise in and through all of us, God. Thank You for new beginnings. In Jesus' name, amen.